Greetings, brothers and sisters, Christians and friends.
All right.
It's an honor and a privilege to stand before you this morning in the Lord's house, being given the privilege of ministering the gospel of Christ. I'm so thankful and humbled that I found this wonderful congregation, this Church of Christ, at the 84th Street in Stoney Church of Christ. One of the things that attracted me to this congregation is the humility of the brotherhood at this location. I thank God that I found men. I don't want to cry first before I deliver the sermon. But our brotherhood is, unfortunately, and this is a little extra than the sermon. Brother Carter said, stick with what you have written down. But our congregations in the Chicagoland area are suffering because they have not built upon the foundation which was laid, the things in which Christ has within his text, within these scriptures, the Holy Spirit. And so to find humility, such great humility of this location just drew me ever closer to knowing that here I can grow and that I can continue to work out my soul's salvation with fear and tremble in the Lord. And so I bring greetings to you. In my sermon this morning, my sermon of exaltation to the Church of Christ here at 51st Street, where I'm from, at the 84th Street location. And my text is taken from Ephesians, the first chapter, the first through the second verse. It says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He opens this letter to the faithful, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the church at Ephesians, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that God has used the faithful in Christ Jesus. And part of my lesson, I wanted to compare actually that from Ephesians. Bear with me, this is my first time in a very long time delivering a message. But also it says in the ending of this letter, Paul wrote to the Ephesians church in 6 and 24, he says, grace be with all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And so at the first of the letter, he says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And the last of the letter, he says, in sincerity. Precious words of faith. Words of faith that as I look out over the audience at this body of Christ, at this location, that it fills my heart and makes me want to speak to you, not more so in a condemning manner, but in the love that I've experienced as I've come and placed my membership here. Because of the faithful in Christ Jesus. Of course, Paul, being an apostle of Jesus Christ, called on the Damascus Road in Acts the 9th chapter, the 15th verse, God spoke and says to Ananias, this is the chosen vessel unto me to go to the Gentiles. I must show him the things of which he must suffer for my sake. And being made an apostle of Jesus Christ, we can see going to the Asia more so as he spoke to the church at Ephesus in Acts the 19th chapter. There were some who had not received this gospel of Christ, but they were baptized unto repentance under John's baptism. And once he preached Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, he says, he baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ, laid hands on them, gave them wondrous gifts, that they may go forth with the gospel of Christ. Paul did suffer many things for Christ's sake, and as we read in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, how the princess Diana, the sex goddess, was very prevalent and a wealthy business more so in Ephesians. That in preaching the gospel, many turned from the weak and the beggarly elements of the world, received Christ as Lord and Savior, and thus were added to the spiritual body, leaving behind the trials and the cares of this world, leaving behind the idols, the things that stop us from knowing the true and the one living God. And so as we see these to the faithful in Christ Jesus, and I speak into those as to those who love God in sincerity. I speak to the heart, not just, I feel very familiar with this congregation, this body of Christ, in that I speak to those which I've seen in my lifetime who have held close to the Lord, whose families have raised them in this straight and narrow way. We have elders at this location because God has raised up men. The 2 Timothy speaks of the qualification of elders. God has raised up men and put them in place that they should serve the body of Christ. And in the context of this lesson, we'd like to go in a little deeper because there are riches in which God has given to us, things in which we are to be exercised in, spiritual things. And we spoke into our class this morning about giving and our offerings and emptying ourselves and being filled with the Spirit. And this faithfulness suggests the adoption which we've received in Jesus Christ. The acceptance we have now as the members of the body of Christ. The redemption that is found only in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness of our sins. The wisdom in which God has for us to wants us to seek. The inheritance we have as the children of God, the seal of the Holy Spirit, life, grace, citizenship, in short, every spiritual blessing. You can write down or turn with me. This is for the beginning of time. God had purposed this in his heart to bring us all into this wonderful fellowship in Christ Jesus, where we were created in the image of God. And it is only sin. By one man, sin came upon all men. But by that last man, which became Adam, which became a quickening spirit, when we obey the gospel, we are transformed into a spiritual state, a spiritual household. The highest order on the face of the earth. There is no order higher. You are the children of God. It was spoken in Isaiah, the 62nd chapter, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamb that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. For you shall be called a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. It goes on in verse 3. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hands of the Lord, a royal diadem. Words like that, I pray in the song, Brother Miles, we'll get back to old songs like that. The royal diadem. Those are forgotten songs now. We need to cultivate those types of songs. That has meaning to it. We are precious. Christ is precious. Verse 4, you shall no longer be termed forsaken. Nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hezlabah, and your land Beulah. Ooh, do we know? Are we journeying Beulah land? I'm living on a mountain underneath a cloudless sky. I'm drinking from a fountain that never shall run dry. I'm feasting on a manna with a bountiful supply, for I'm dwelling, saith, in Beulah land. You say it. Are you dwelling in Beulah land? We're dwelling in Beulah land. God has graced us, given us spiritual blessings. We are part of the household of God. These things have come to pass. For in Matthew, the 16th chapter, Christ came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. But he says, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ turned to Peter and said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter means pebble, small stone. The revealing that he was the Christ, the large foundational stone, the cornerstone. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Singular personal pronoun. Christ went on to the death of the cross, buried in the ground 3 days, went into Hades, preached to the captives, set them free, rose up with all power and authority, sent his disciples to Jerusalem from Galilee, a Sabbath journey from Galilee to Jerusalem, to wait for the power from on high. On the day of Pentecost, as was spoken, the gift of the Holy Spirit descended down upon the apostles as a cloven tongues. And men heard them speak in the language where they were born, the wonderful works of God. God prophesied Beulah land. He prophesied the mighty diadem. He He prophesied that you'd be no more desolate, but you'd be made to drink of this spiritual manna, which God has poured out upon all flesh in these last days. Such were the elders in Ephesians. For if we turn to Ephesians now and take a look at that first chapter, and let's look at the actually, let's look at the 15th verse, for it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, it says, in your love for all saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul, writing from a prison cell, had joy in his heart to write this letter and to circulate it amongst the saints for the blessings that were poured out upon the church at Ephesus. Aren't we blessed amongst all men that we are the body of Christ? Ephesians 4:4 tells us that there is one Lord, there is one faith, and there is one baptism. Have we received that? As the children of God. It tells us in Ephesians 1:22 that he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are the body of Christ, members in particular of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. God has poured on each and every one of you gifts according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are called the New Jerusalem. You are this holy city. This mighty diadem. This Beulah land. God has given us to be priests as we sing, pray, commune, give, and we talk the wonderful words of God. God is the only spectator amongst us as we come together joyously, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be earnest to bust down the doors running here in the Lord's day, the first day of the week. Do you know in Acts the 20th chapter, the 7th verse, it says, I think we know that by heart. It says, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. We use that over our communion service. But do we know what the 8th verse says? It says they beckoned to Paul to preach until midnight, ready to depart on tomorrow. Yes, sir. That means they were there the first day of the week all the way to midnight, because in the first century church, they were so zealous about this pouring out of the Holy Spirit that they wanted to hear more. We're so blessed to have the modern means of communication through our computers and through our cell phones and smartphones and things of the nature. I pray we're using them for the Lord's glory. But upon the first day of the week, I'm looking out amongst us, and this is indeed God's children. But it would be wonderful to have our benches full, bounding over in servitude to the Lord. There are classes through the week, not just a Wednesday night class, which is favorable in the brotherhood, but what about a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday class? For the Lord. In the first century church, these things were prevalent. Paul, in his missionary journey in the 19th chapter, the elders came with him and he told them of the mission he must go on to Jerusalem and knew that they would be waiting in Rome to imprison him. So the elders fell upon him and wept. But the missioner was at hand and he had to go. But he had set in motion the church, exhorted and encouraged them in the Lord. And how beautiful the fruits of righteousness. How beautiful are the fruits of righteousness. I'm going to stay within my time frame, brother. Pull my coat. But the theme that I've heard since the day one I've walked through these doors, prayed for, preached, and studied from God's Word, I'd like to go to the 4th chapter of Ephesians, because it speaks on unity. And we must, as the children of God, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Where we cannot find rest here, where can we find rest? It's certainly not in the world. All that's in the world is what? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so this unity we find in Christ, as it reads in the first verse, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness, with gentleness, and long-suffering, with one another in love. We know 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, says, now abide of faith, hope, and charity, and most of all, charity, which is what? Love. Which is love. God wants us to walk in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. How blessed we are as the children of God. That we are so loved that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How beautiful. The fifth chapter of Ephesians. To walk in love. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, and offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I relate to this in that as I stand before you, I'm looking upon the pews and those who I'm familiar with from a child up, who have not departed from the faith, whose family has been raised in the faith, who've shown great perseverance in the faith, who've been exercised in love. I remember as a three-year-old child, the church being in the, they used to every summer have a picnic in, what is that out there in, on 79th and Western over there. And how beautiful it was for the families to come together when we were young folk. When we were young folk. I remember as a teenager in the households of the righteous being held to certain standards. As a young folk. But now as older folk, mature in the Lord, we are to walk and to carry this burden more so in love. To show the younger generation amongst us that this is the way to go. I learned how to respect women through watching older people in the church. The church walking in love. The gentleness, there's one couple. Well, I'll mention their name because they're honored and we should honor those amongst us, should we not? It was the English family at the time. Brother and sister English, I don't know which group of Englishes, but he always used to hold her hand and they walk on out and all the young people, even the mothers, were a little jealous because their husbands wasn't doing it to them. They watch them. And they stroll on back and say, look how he opens the car door for her and shows all this grace towards her. She's his sister in Christ, not just his wife. And he is showing the love that God has shown him to show for her. And that's where I learned manners. In this, as the circular Maladers calls it, the circular world calls it, in this village. It takes a village to raise a child. God has a body that He has put together to raise a child. And He shows us the higher way. The higher ways, more so, in which we are to raise this child in the Lord. Of course, Ephesians, the sixth chapter, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that you may live long upon the face of the earth. Our exhortation is to raise your children in the Lord, that they may live long upon the... Then, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. These are our lessons we're learning from this Ephesians. And if you'll do this in sincerity, God will give you a crown of life that fadeth not away. Amen. Your sons and your daughters will come to know you as their brothers and sisters of Christ. They will come to know you as a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Ones who have delivered up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This exhortation are to the believers. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. To those who love the Lord in sincerity. I was once told, once you said all you can say, sit down. And we know we can link the Bible up for Psalm. The psalmist says in the first chapter, he says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He warns and goes on and warns and says, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff in which the wind bloweth away. He says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let us rejoice that we are made glad in the body of Christ, as the chosen of God, those who are working out their soul salvation with fear and tremble in the Lord. Let us be the faithful in Christ Jesus. Let us be those who love God in sincerity. For the prophecy has been fulfilled. Christ sits on the throne, the royal diadem. The prophecy has been fulfilled. Second Psalms, and I'll leave you with this, has been fulfilled. Why do the heathens rage? When we go outside the doors, the summer's already on. I can't tell you what I've already witnessed because of the heat. But it says, why do the heathens rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth, they seek themselves. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us cast their courts from us. But he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have him in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the world for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. It says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way. For when his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all of they who put their trust in him. God wants us to hear his word. He wants us to be saved in these last days. He so loved us that he gave heaven's best. The scripture tells us that this faith in Jesus Christ comes by hearing, to be teachable, to come to our morning Bible classes, to come to our Wednesday night classes, to desire, hunger, and thirst after this knowledge. James says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask from the Father, which give liberally to all men, and abrade him not, and it shall be given unto him. But the warning is still there. Don't ask wavering. For a man who has wavering is what? Tossed to and fro, like the waves of the sea. And let not that man, generically, think he shall receive anything of God. For God, he says, God cannot be tempted, neither tempt any man. For man is tempted when he is enticed and drawn away upon his own lust. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, which is a transgression to God. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. God has given us life in Christ Jesus, to the faithful, to the sincere in Christ Jesus. So then faith comes by hearing. If you're earnestly here to get your soul saved and to hear what God has to say, so that you can be a partaker of this Beulah land, if you will believe, Christ says, if you believe that I am he, you shall all likewise perish. He is who? Christ. Christ, Jesus was a common name. But Christ, under the Old Testament, Israel, El stood for God. In these last days, Christ is God. So you need to be married to Christ. You need to take on his name. If you believe that I am he, you shall all likewise perish. That should create in us understanding that this Messiah has come and died to take away our sins. A repentant heart. He did on the day of Pentecost. when they recognized they had crucified the Savior, they said, men and brothers, what must we do? They were told to repent, to turn around from the weak and the beggarly elements of the world. This sin, this transgression of God's law. You have transgressed God's law. Turn from sin. The scripture says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What do you confess? The sweetest name that could be named. They did that in Acts, the 19th chapter, approximately the 5th verse. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The scripture tells us hereunto baptism does now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer to a good conscience in the sight of God. We are taught to what? Be baptized. Baptismo in Greek is to be totally submerged. And let God perform a spiritual operation on your soul. Wash away your sins. A new birth, that you may rise up in the newness of life. And that you may continue faithful unto death. I have no more to say. I'm thankful, humbly thankful for this opportunity. I'm humbly thankful that I found a congregation that reflects the scriptures. And that humility, great humility, is exercised here, is what brought me here. And staying with God's word will keep me here. And so I extend the invitation to those who are outside, a guilty distance from God. If you are here in sincerity, then you must come so that you can be saved, baptized. If the invitation is extended, come whosoever will. Take the waters of life freely. Oh, there is one more scripture I need to say. That was Revelations. I got that on the faithful elder brother Jackson. I know he's got me down for what I said I was going to do. And that's in the Revelations, the 22nd chapter. The time is near. Tomorrow is promised no man. It's a job. There's a lady, she's 90 years old, and she had a faithful son, 57 years old of age, who came through daily to take care of his mother. What an honorable thing. Mother, 90, on a walker. He's her only son, had no other relatives, but he was faithful over his mother. On the last Lord's Day, which was my birthday, another guy started coming through when I came back to work, was coming through, and I said, what happened to her son? He said, he died at 57. She's 90. So tomorrow's promise, no man, the scripture says. Because you're youthful and young, don't get caught up in your flesh. The invitation is extended to those who will obey. Now is the acceptable time. Because tomorrow is not promised any one of us. It says, according to Revelation 22 and the verses 6, it says, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God, our holy prophets, he says, sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. There was a rebuking in Revelations, the 2nd chapter, to the churches of Ephesians. He says, they called them the loveless church. He called them the loveless church. After all the praise that Paul gave that church, Christ said, repent. He's speaking to your heart. He's speaking to the individual who take a circumspect look and get it right. Remember your first love. Christ. Remember your first love. And he says in verse 12 of 22 of Revelations, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside, it says, are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immorality, immoral, and murderers and adulterers and those who love the practice of a lie. There's nothing out there in the world for you. You need to come to Christ. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whosoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely. As we sing the song of invitation, come whosoever will. Thank you.
Number 237. Have thine affections been...